Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Yeah, that sign of Five Guys that says, hey, don't come in if you have any type of peanut allergy.
Any right. type of peanut allergy, yeah. but...
Used to be six guys, but one of them had a peanut allergy.
Doesn't everybody date a lot in high school if you're dating? I mean, you go out.
I don't think they date sisters.
People. Some people try.
You make it sound like it's somehow, it's like taboo.
It's not taboo.
I know it's a category.
It's not a threesome.
Shut up, Boney. It's not a category.
Well, I just know this, is that the nuts from the Brazil, Mike, all Brazilian nuts are totally hair-free, which is one of their advantages.
This guy. Maddie, hey, this is your guy. Hero. This is your
this
hero.
Guy.
Why am I Maddie's hero? Since Maddie hates me the
Maddie,
most.
Maddie, this is a perfect discussion for you. And Maddie, my apologies for...
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Happy Friday the 13th.
Mwah, mwah, mwah.
Later on in Oscar's take, there will be a very scary segment. Should be very, very interesting. But I don't hold much to spooks and goblins and scary superstitions. Can you bring that up for me a little bit? But I do think about Friday the 13th and what it truly means. And I don't want to alarm anyone in our listening audience. But I do want to say this. Watch what you're doing today. Beware.
Watch out.
Stranger. Perhaps when you're taking that walk from work, the sun's beginning to go down. You might want to walk with a friend. Perhaps if you're going to be alone in your home. You started again.
I did.
Perhaps if you're going to be alone in your home for a long period of time, you may want to call a friend and let them know if you're okay.
What if you encounter a cat?
A cat?
Like a black one.
You're mocking
one.
Me.
No.
You're mocking me.
No, I'm just telling people to be... Be ever vigilant.
A black cat with white polka dots.
Doesn't got to be solid black.
Mm. A matte black.
Because it's Friday the 13th.
Shiny black.
What I'd like you to do today, go into your home, get a hand mirror if you have one, stand under a ladder with your black cat and break it.
Mirror the cat.
And then walk out on the sidewalk and walk one full block. Stepping on only cracks.
That's murder for your mother's back.
And then if your mother's alive, call her and check on her.
Check on her! How's your back, Mom?
That's what I would do. But it's Friday the 13th. What are we doing?
I don't know.
Welcome. Hi. How are you? I don't believe in that.
I remember Friday the 13th at its height was when the Jason movies were the most popular.
Right.
Right? You felt like, oh, man, now Jason's going to come after me.
Mm-hmm. I saw that mask in Walmart yesterday.
You did?
Was it on a customer or was it on the shelf?
It was on me for a little while.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Are you looking for a Halloween costume?
I'm looking for... I'm so confused.
Don't be.
I'm so underprepared on a Friday. I think I have an extra commercial. We are sponsored today by Quip. That is correct.
Yes,
Quip.
True.
Mm-hmm. All right, we are sponsored by the Fruitcake Futures.
Yes.
That's mm-hmm. true. We are sponsored by Cornerstone First Financial.
Is also true? True.
We are. That's where it is. We're sponsored again by Quip.
No, we don't. We don't want an extra Quip.
Thank you. That's all.
Right.
That's all.
That's all. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's all.
Clear that up on a Friday the 13th.
Nothing. To, right. That was the bad luck spot.
Yeah.
Rob, I know you have that music standing by.
Yes.
Just can someone explain to me why that Quip spot was at the beginning and also in the middle of my packet this morning? Coincidence?
Mm.
Or could it be Satan's number?
Satan?
This is the Mike O'Mara Show. Glad to have you along. I want to say to my bride, I could not bring myself. She put a nice post up yesterday about our 10th wedding anniversary.
You made me laugh. So
yes, I could. I just couldn't. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do what everybody does. The one thing, I've always criticized this, and I didn't want to be a hypocrite, but when I read, you know, 12 years ago, I married my best friend. I've read that so many times that it makes me want to barf because it's just not original. You know what I mean? It's just not original. So when my wife posted a schmaltzy, lovey-dovey, schmoozy post to me, it touched me because she just doesn't do that very often.
Right.
But then I'm like, well, we're getting towards the end of the day, and I said I should probably put something up because it is a milestone anniversary, a 10th anniversary.
Okay.
Yes.
But you all celebrated already, right? Before we pounce on you, what happened last? You've celebrated already.
No, we're technically celebrating tonight.
Oh.
Well, Mike, technically.
I thought you took the cruiser, the trip.
The trip.
Or,
and yeah, technically, right? Mike, haven't you been celebrating for the last 10 years?
Yeah.
Every day is a celebration, no?
Yeah, if you want to count that ridiculously
you don't count that?
Overpriced.
I'd count that for 10 years.
That was the 60. That was the 10th wedding anniversary.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
But that was not.
Because as you know,
I don't recommend going to those.
The traditional gift for the 10th anniversary, the stomach virus.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm.
By the way, I don't want to offend our friend Paulie Christine, who goes to those places all the time. But I'm not. I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't go back.
Really?
I think it's absurdly overpriced for my life.
What, I think Paulie makes a profit because he wins a lot of trivia contests.
Okay.
So he brings home a lot of tchotchkes.
But
and
he likes
bottles
those places.
He does.
And the people that like them go again. And again and again and again. They like to be served that way. And I didn't. It just wasn't my cup of tea. I kind of like the Anthony Bourdain method of travel, where you go to a destination and you
sometimes
off yourself. No, I'm sorry. That's not what I wanted to say. No, where you get off the plane and then you,
Mike,
you, I would throw you, I would be the kind of person, I think you throw yourself into the town you're going to.
Yeah.
One of the best vacations I ever had is when I took my family over and didn't make a hotel reservation in Ireland and went from town to town with kids and went to B&Bs. And that was great because you'd go into a city or a town, and you'd go to the local watering hole, and you'd say, are there any good B&Bs? And they give you a recommendation, and that's how you did it. And it was fine for me. It worked. It worked.
I'll have
me.
A pint. The kids will have some milk. Where's right. the local
the,
watering
the
hole?
Irish controlled milk. Vacation. Yeah. But I will tell you that the vacation that I took was one of the more expensive vacations I took because they give you all that.
Right.
But I don't know. I think that, that we sort of said that would be our 10th anniversary thing. We didn't get big gifts for each other. Well, I got her a little gift. I got her a little gift. And
his name is Michael.
Yeah, there
Michael
you go.
William O'Mara.
That's right.
And and I came home last night after we had our very special 10th anniversary celebration because we did go out. We didn't go to a restaurant.
Okay. Oh, all right.
We had joint dermatologist visits.
That's
nothing
great.
Says I love you more than together going out to the dermatologist.
Did you have
Wasn't
anything frozen
fun?
Off?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
yes, I did.
Oh,
yeah.
I was just
I had
guessing.
Something hacked off and I had something frozen off.
I hope you kept it.
And Carla had something frozen off, too. She had a mole removed.
Mm.
I had a mole removed. And
who makes these appointments?
Carla did. She researched on her little
website. Yeah, but on your 10th anniversary, isn't that like anticlimactic?
I don't think that would be the word I would use.
No.
That would be, I wouldn't consider it in any way romantic.
Okay. I would say it's intimate.
Well, I wouldn't even go that far.
Well, and you, where was your mole?
Ridiculous is a word that pops to mind. What did you say? Where
I should have led with this question.
He didn't get my boxers off.
First
you know
date.
But he said, hey, you got something on your back that's just a little red. And so, chopped it off, sent it off to the lab.
Mm. Okay, good.
And by the way, the lab with my health insurance is called Vinny's Lab, where they not only can check you for skin cancer, but they can also serve a wonderful hoagie.
Isn't the lab under a castle?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. It's wonderful. Now you should play that music again. It's under a castle. It's under a very dark, terrifying,
good
scary
news, Mr. O'Mara. It came back benign.
Well, is there anything else that we can hack off your body?
Yes, there is.
You so, go to the lab and there's a glass tank and they're growing you.
Right.
Do you make the deal of no presents, or was it inferred that
she thought it was a cute thing to go together? And I did not. And by the way, we had our son with us, so like we travel everywhere together. And she went in first.
Yeah.
And then I had the little man who was a little overtired.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's overtired, he's like a spider monkey.
Yeah.
Touch, touch, jump, sure. jump, lie down, stand up, sit up, and then I take him into the doctor's
way.
Office. And it's like when I'm looking at him, going, please don't touch the medical waste. Please don't touch the medical waste.
Yeah.
Especially in an office like that. And he's this like that. And then 40 minutes later, he comes in to see me because he lingered with her, as all doctors would, especially
why
a
you?
Younger doctor.
Yeah.
What younger doctor would want to spend more time? By the way, they come in with me. Hey, you look fine. See you later.
Yeah.
Die. And then, you know, with her, it's like, well, let me go over you one more time.
You see, and Oscar and I are pure class, so we're not going to ask about the location of her mole.
Would you like to know? Well, I had a skin tag or two. Frozen off yesterday.
What's a skin
tag? I have skin tags.
What's a skin tag?
Skin tags are little things of skin that are tags
it's
on your body.
I thought
and
of
I
skin.
Have them. I've had them in since my 20s in my armpits, where the friction causes the and the fatter you get, the more friction there is, and the more skin tags there are. So he went. Z-Z-Z. And by the way, I like that.
Yeah,
because I figured that's the normal thing. You get your little exam, and then he said, come back, and I'll do that. No, he knocked him out yesterday with a little freezing thing.
I thought of skin tags actually yesterday because one of the guests on the David Spade show was Judd Apatow, who is slowly turning into Ken Stevens.
Oh,
they
really?
They look just alike now. Yeah.
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 Okay.
And so,
right,
and Ken Stevens, our general manager at WJFK back in the day, had neck skin tags.
Oh, my God.
And once that was brought up, anytime that you were brought
up. Do you have any skin tags, Rob?
I've had them. I don't have any currently.
Have you ever had a skin tag, Oscar?
No, that's why I asked what they are. I still got to look them up.
Okay. Well, no, skin tags are common.
I think it's a Western European phenomenon, not so much for the Southern American.
Really?
I just made that up.
I would love to know. God, I wish. Do you know there are times, seriously, that I wish we had a resident physician
that'd be great.
Who could say, yes, the Latin people are not known for their skin tags.
No, Dr. Masiello, can you look into that?
What do the skin tags?
No,
are they
I
like,
bet there's some Bolivian.
I'm sure there are.
Like widows that are 70 years old that have them hanging all over their body.
But I think Bolivian widow might be a category.
Bolivian widows probably have
usually
skin tags.
Young and beautiful because they've lost their husbands to the cartel.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? If you asked your mother might have a skin tag or two.
Yeah,
sure.
It's
dad
not,
might
it's
have
not
a skin
conversation
tag
I'm really going to bring up with them. You know?
Well, why not? I mean, I would ask my mom anything.
I never thought. I mean, please tell me, Mom, you're healthy, but I don't need to get into your skin tag. Number this month or this week.
Well, it's medical history is what
And
it
you
is.
Should
I
know mean, your parents' medical history.
Yeah, because with genetics and all that,
they keep
you know,
on trucking.
Yeah. Did your mom have any history or your father of ulcers, of stomach problems?
Oh, my dad
like
definitely. He's got an ulcer.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So then
that's,
I get it. Yeah,
that's
I get
probably
that.
Where
yeah.
you get it. I think everything my dad had, I've gotten.
Yeah, bad.
Except for the shingles.
Dad.
My dad had the shingles real bad.
But that's from. And, isn't that derived from chicken pox?
It is. It's the same strain.
Yeah.
And
he
I
had
think, I think if you had chicken pox, the depends on how you're treated for chicken pox as a kid, can determine if you have shingles now, I believe.
Oh, wow.
But there's a shingles vaccine now.
Oh, there is?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah, you take it a certain age. I believe it or not, I'm too young for it right now.
Really?
Yeah.
What year do you take the shingles
might
vaccine?
Might be 65.
Well, I'll put that on my calendar.
But it might be 55, too. I don't know.
You know what I hate?
Well,
my regular
years.
Doctor, Dr. I Don't Care, said, nah, you don't need it now. All right, you don't need it.
You know what? I hate the notion, and you see it every now and then, and it was a thing when I think Robert was little. When a kid gets chicken pox, I believe it's a 21-day period. 21-day period. When you're exposed to when you get it. They do things with kids called chicken pox parties.
Oh, I saw that.
Where they can actually purposely get chicken pox so you can schedule around it.
That's,
that
you know,
seems
I've heard of
so
that. That's ridiculous.
Horrible, but it happens.
By the way, speaking of kids and their maladies, there is, I was watching Savannah today, and Savannah kicked it to a reporter, the health reporter, that said they might have a pill now for kids with peanut allergies, which my son has, and
that.
A pill that will dissipate. But then they qualified it to the extent where, you know, you come out with your big headline, a pill that could help kids with peanut allergies. And then the way the kids that took this pill in many cases were able to eat a small number of peanuts.
That's great.
That to me is not a cure.
No, that's good if you go to a baseball game that's been rained out. You just need it for like two innings.
No. I think what it is for the kids that really have it, I've known kids
exposed.
Yeah.
I've known kids that have had serious, my son does not, thank God, have serious allergies to peanuts where, like, if there's peanut dust in the air, I mean, they can really get.
Yeah, that sign of Five Guys that says, hey, don't come in if you have any type of peanut allergy.
Any type of peanut allergy. But
used to be Six Guys, but one of them had a peanut allergy.
You know, there are people that have to deal with this every day and walk around.
Happy Friday.
With a pen. Just to keep themselves alive.
That was pretty good.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, you thought it was pretty good.
Way to compliment yourself.
Yeah. Sorry,
I'm defending myself.
Yes. No allergies.
That was
this
pretty
guy.
Good.
I didn't give it an A+.
Six guys. Five guys. Yeah. Five guys. Now, the six was killed by the drug cartel. to do a callback on this. This is a typical early morning.
Well,
Friday
think about the peanut, the peanut farms, right? Where do the most peanuts come from?
Jimmy Carter,
Georgia.
Yeah.
No. Internationally.
Georgia.
Internationally, where do they grow peanuts in it? Bolivia?
No, they have them in Central America and they have them in South America. The Brazilian nut is one of the best nuts.
Oh, the Brazil nut.
Yeah, is the best nuts out there. I've actually traveled to Brazil and had Brazil nuts straight from the factory.
Not even looking at you.
I'm not saying it. No.
Rob, what's wrong with Brazil nut?
There is a, we have to address this now. Because
we must.
Rob's looking at me.
I didn't want to look
there
at you.
There is a horrifying racial slur
associated
with
years for the Brazil nut.
Yeah. Oh, I have no, and I would rather not know. I'd rather live my life not knowing it.
Then you will not.
You will not. But I will say this.
Rob immediately thought
I'm not shocked that Rob was like, oh my God, racial slur.
Well, I just know this, is that the nuts from the Brazil, Mike, all Brazilian nuts are totally hair-free, which is one of their advantages.
This guy. Maddie, this is your hero. This is your hero.
Why am I Maddie's hero? Maddie hates me the most.
Maddie, this is a perfect discussion for you. And Maddie, my apologies for... my apologies for my incredibly fluorescent head today with my camera shot, which has not changed at all.
I'm forward, Scarecrow.
Something happened to my camera today that is just weird. I don't know. I can't figure it out, but it's just like, hi. I look like some cartoon character in Blue's Clues today. It's just weird. But on the subject of nuts, Maddie will get into this, and Pony will too. Our favorite nut. Everybody's got a different nut that they like more than any other nut. Mm. What is your favorite nut? We'll start with Rob. Rob, what's your favorite nut?
Overall, my favorite nut is the pecan, but a very
really?
Close second.
See, that surprises me.
Oh,
it's
the best pie. It's so important in fruitcake. It's great
for
baking.
But I mean, as far as like, you don't have to qualify it. It's your favorite nut. It's your favorite. I'm thinking more in terms of like, there are three bowls
for snacking. For snacking would be a salted almond. No,
really?
No, I take that back. A cashew.
He just named all the nuts.
Yeah, he did. He did. Hey, Porky. What, I'm asking for one particular nut that you like to get. Would it be cashews that you like to eat them? You've
for
given us three nuts.
Well, you were vague in your question. For snacking, yes.
Well, for a pie, it's the pecan. For snacking, it's the cashew. For salted, it's the almond. Well,
is it the almond or the cashew?
Mike, it is the salted cashew.
All right. He didn't name all the nuts, but he named some of the nuts. What's your favorite nut?
That was so beautifully put, Rob. Thank you. A cashew is your go. I think that's a go-to snack.
It's incredible that because mine is the cashew also.
Yeah, well,
so good. I love cashews.
It was also the forbidden fruit growing up, and you should know that I'm somewhat of a nut connoisseur. As
look at the company he keeps.
My family, they never bought chips, but they would buy all types of nuts to put out at cocktail parties.
Okay, so I grew like nuts at a party.
So most people had bags of Doritos to jump into. I would break into a mixed nut planner's, the party size.
Got it.
I would say the tin that was meant for parties and adults, but as a kid, I had nothing else to snack on. So you would see a little kid in front of the TV with a cocktail napkin and mixed nuts. Just
you know,
eating
Mike,
at 5 years old.
We're a little older. Do you remember that it was in vogue for a while to put out nuts in their shells with crackers and picks? And so people would actually like crack a walnut and dig out the meat as part of the snacking activity.
Well, I know I grew up around people like a lot of with nutcrackers and things like that, and my mom probably had those. But I, you know, as far as at a party, I never really grew up around anything other than the nuts that you got out of all the nuts that you were going through. What is
so,
your fave?
We would do this bit where my brother and I would sit there and like drop all the mixed nuts from two bowls into one big bowl, from two tins into one big bowl. And we would take out all the cashews and put them into a different bowl and then put them all back and then seal them back over. The only thing you wouldn't have is the actual tin
foil. That's so funny because I would go through mixed nuts. And would I be accurate in saying that the cashew in the mixed nuts?
It was
nuts,
a forbidden, like it was, you just didn't have
enough.
But it was
never, they didn't have enough. No, they didn't. Because everybody loved cashews and they put like the, well, speaking of the Brazil nut,
yeah,
which was not one of my favorite
nuts. But I
nuts.
Like the Brazil nut as well. That's my second favorite nut.
It reminds him of his homeland.
Yes.
If you look at a jar, sometimes it'll say fancy mixed nuts, less than 30% peanuts, because peanut is your filler nut in a mixed nut mix. It's the cheapest.
Now, if you're looking at brands, I have a go-to brand. It's High Cotton Peanuts. That is the go-to brand. Go-to.
I say, son. High Cotton Peanuts.
Fantastic.
Yes,
fantastic.
You like why? What's so great about? Do they still make something called High Cotton? That, speaking of racial slur, that sounds like it could be.
You see, I don't. Maybe I don't make that connotation. For me,
cottontation.
No.
Doesn't high cotton refer to cotton that is high on the plant that doesn't have to be? You don't have to stoop down to pick.
I believe
isn't that what it is?
I believe you're in high cotton now.
I
will check, but I always thought it was a tremendous cotton harvest. When you're in high cotton, you have a lot of money.
Well, look it up and see where the origin of the expression, because I've heard you're in high cotton. So you like cashews as well.
Yes, I like cashews. The issue is the freshness of the peanut. That changes everything.
Really?
Yes, it really does. It really does.
Yeah. Peanuts, to me, digestively, have always been problematic.
So you had an issue.
The peanut breaks down a lot differently, a lot more differently, I think, than the rest of the nuts. Cashews, I can eat a ton of cashews without any problem.
I remember when I was younger and I'd walk into a 7-Eleven and you'd see what was just all salted cashews in one little pouch, and it was like $4. I was like, you know what? No more picking through planters for me. I'm going to buy this bag and I'm going to house this
and
cashew.
And you can go to the grocery store and get a big tall tube of the cashews. That's the mother load. And then you can eat them like it's actual food.
Yes.
And it makes you sick.
Sustenance.
High cotton originates from the rural farming community in the antebellum, meaning pre-Civil War South. High cotton meant the crops were good and prices were high too. The term has become generalized to mean one is doing well or is successful.
Oh, sorry about that whole picking thing. But it was antebellum. So.
Yeah, it is.
Maddie Masiello, favorite nut?
Almonds for snacking, but hazelnuts in terms of flavor and cooking and baking with them.
Hazelnuts. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And of course, isn't Nutella?
Exactly.
Isn't that a hazelnut?
Yes, of course.
Isn't that a hazelnut spread? And Ponyboy Matthew Bloom. Your favorite nut. You will be the final word. Oh, and we have a new intern. Maybe he could weigh
Jordan,
in.
Yeah.
Yes, I'd like that.
Yeah.
You know, I love
Jordan. Almond. All right. Pony, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah,
in terms of flavor, I have to go with just the regular all natural pistachio.
Oh, look at this guy.
Very good.
You and RJ Diaz.
That's right.
Oh, you know what? Pistachio. Yes, fantastic nut. And our new intern who hails from what institution of higher learning?
Let's put the headphones on. Let's teach him how to do it. We can barely hear him. You should know that. Please. Somebody help the man out. Help him out.
This is his first day, and already he's learning something.
Yeah, we haven't even grilled him yet. This is Jordan from where is he?
George Mason.
George Mason. MassCom major, right?
Yeah. All right. Jordan, your favorite nut.
It is definitely between the cashew and the hazelnut. They definitely they have this
Is he talking into the mic? We can barely hear him. Speak up, sir.
Definitely the cashew or the hazelnut.
The cashew or the hazelnut?
Look at this man. I like that.
You know what I'm shocked? I'm shocked no one mentioned the smokehouse almond.
Oh,
the almonds like that. I don't know.
Take the headphones away from him now.
Please.
Don't need him to panel.
Please.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
we have to teach the man mic technique.
Here's something for you, Oscar.
I used to be able to name every nut that there was. I'd say peanut, hazelnut, cashew nut, macadamia nut, pine nut. Pistachio nut, red pistachio nut, natural, all natural white pistachio. Don't play.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Stop it right there. Thank you. And we appreciate your weighing in, Charlie Burney.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Danny, there's a lot of, badness in the world today. I see it in court every day. I've sentenced boys younger than you to the gas chamber. Didn't want to do it.
But I owed it.
Felt I owed it to them. The most important decision you can make right now is what do you stand for, Danny? Goodness or badness?
I know I've made some mistakes in the past. I'm willing to make up for that. I want to be good.
Good. Good. Very good. You know, I know how hard it is for young people today, and I want to help. Well, just ask my grandson Spaulding. He and I are regular pals.
Are you my pal, Mr. Scholarship Winner?
Yes, sir. I'm your pal.
How about a Fresca?
Oh.
Huh?
Hey, Doc, can you scare up another round for our table over here and tell the cook this is low-grade dog food, all right? And here, take this for yourself, okay? Sheet, I had better food at the ball game, you know? I tell you, this steak still has marks where the jockey was hitting. Oh, somebody's stepping a duck.
Elihu, who is that disgusting man over there?
I tell you, I never saw dead people smoke before.
Guest of the Scots.
Hey, Ringo, play something hot, will you? And you guys, take some more lessons.
Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I'll bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh? Oh, it looks good on you, though.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike. Little Caddyshack medley for you on a Friday. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. Glad to have you with us today. And we are heard all over the place, all over the world.
Well.
And we have a wonderful fan base from everywhere, and we love the support that we get. The passion of our listenership is what keeps this show chugging along from Slick Poo, Idaho, to Rockland, California, San Luis du Haha, Canada. Love our Canadian
yes.
listeners. India Atlantic, Florida. Love our Florida listeners. Mercer Island, Washington, the state of Washington represents for the Mike O'Mara Show. And we're grateful. And all the way out in The Hague, Netherlands. Thank you all for listening. We appreciate you listening to TMOS. Brought to you today by Quip. Quip, what actually makes a better toothbrush? Industrial strength power?
Oh.
Space age polymers? Multiple modes? No. If you ask your dentist, they'll tell you it's less about the brush and more about how you use it. That's why you need Quip. Quip is the electric toothbrush designed to focus on what actually matters for your oral health. Healthier habits, Quip's sensitive vibrations, and built-in timer ensure that you brush for the dentist-recommended 2 minutes, resulting in an even clean. Also, Quip automatically delivers brush heads to you every 3 months for clean new bristles right on schedule. It's simple to use, comes with a travel cap that doubles as a mirror mount. Simply put, Quip makes brushing something you actually want to do twice a day. Your oral care matters, so ditch the gimmicks and grab a Quip. Quip starts at just $25, and you'll get your first refill free at getquip.com/TMOS. This is a simple way to support our show and start brushing better. But you have to go to getquip.com/TMOS to get your first refill free. Go right now to getquip.com/TMOS, and we thank you. I rarely talk about politics on the show, but I will tell you that after watching my Democrats last night on stage in Texas, debates should be between two people of opposing views.
It can't be controlled. It can't be controlled with that many
people. It's not controllable. They all basically have the same thoughts. They all agree with each other in principle, generally speaking. So when you're forcing a bunch of 10 people on a stage who kind of feel the same way about most issues, it's not only boring, it's fake, and it feels fake. And I want to see, I'm ready for the nominee and mano y mano. A debate to me should be, I disagree with you, you disagree with me. Now we're going to see who we can make
people. Did anybody shine?
No, it was just there were a couple of small moments that were not shining.
I have two favorite moments that are brief I'd like to share with you.
Okay, very good.
These are my two favorite moments. One.
It's a bunch of malarkey.
And two.
That's so much malarkey.
Good job, Biden.
Is that, did he say malarkey?
Twice.
You know. Oh, the knock on old Joe is that, he's a little long in the tooth. And if you're using a word malarkey, you know, I mean, that's just like saying, get off of my lawn.
Yeah, we don't want America to suffer from the consumption.
A bunch of wackadoos.
Wackadoo malarkey. Get out of there. It's malarkey. But what I did realize last night? I realized I don't watch ABC ever for any reason. I don't watch
it locally.
Not
even for The Bachelor?
No, not see.
What about the Goldbergs? What about the Goldbergs?
Yeah,
Modern Family.
See, you guys consume much more regular TV than I do. I do not. Well, I watch the CBS because down here that's my favorite weather channel. The local wink.
Yes.
WINK. We're here, bro. But I don't watch. I don't watch ABC at all.
ABC,
I don't watch their morning show.
ABC has a lot of shows that cater to my intellect: sitcoms and game shows. I'm right there. They have the match game. They have Goldbergs.
Do they skew younger a little bit?
Well, I think at least the largest property is the Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise. So it's on year round, or the Bachelorette.
Yes,
depending on who's watching and when you're watching.
Yeah, so, I should watch The Bachelor. I really should. That's
You should.
That would keep me feeling young and hip.
It really is. It's a train wreck that can be digested on demand whenever you want.
I like watching The Bachelor here at Podcast Village when we're doing lunch.
We stopped doing that.
But it was good when we did.
Well, actually, it was not good. We realized that people weren't actually talking to each other. They're watching television. That's why you liked it.
But it was a way that you could consume it in 35 minutes and not waste any primetime hours with it. And that's why, if it hadn't been for that, we wouldn't know about the sex in the windmill.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's some value.
Times.
Shut up, Pony.
Sex in the windmill?
Yeah, there was a young lady who had sex in a windmill 3 times.
Maddie just held up 4 fingers.
Four times.
Overseas? Was it an overseas windmill or was
no,
it?
No, she grew up in the South.
Excuse me. I don't remember, traveling down to Mississippi to see the windmills.
I think it was in Europe. Was it in Europe somewhere, Maddie?
Yeah, it was Amsterdam.
Amsterdam, of course.
Yeah. Okay, where they have the windmill.
Yes, but to be fair for Oscar, it was southern Amsterdam.
Yeah.
By the way, hats off to the Dutch, right? Who came up with the windmill.
Yeah.
You know, now what do we have? We have windmills.
Turbines. Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. That's a very happy country.
So they had sex inside a windmill?
Yeah, they set it up for their bachelorette getaway. Was it that the Bachelor or the Bachelorette?
It was the Bachelorette.
The Bachelorette, they had these fantasy getaways, and they got to spend a night in a windmill.
And this is like a bed and breakfast type
and
thing?
So they could sleep in the windmill.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep.
Really? Yeah. So, I mean, they have They have a bed?
Yes.
You can go out to a windmill. Like, if I wanted to take my wife on a romantic trip to a windmill, it wouldn't just be go out and see where the thing spins around, but sleep in it
you could sleep
overnight?
In it.
I think you could arrange that, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's exciting.
You could also sleep in, if you had the right cash, you could arrange to sleep in the Disney castle.
That's true. The second floor.
I understand that. I know that one. I mean, Disney.
Places you take
you
a young wife. I'm just thinking,
Well, no, I'm thinking about why, the windmill. I think of a windmill, even in Amsterdam, is this brick or wood structure where you go out and it's a mill.
Yeah.
It like grinds things.
Yeah,
that's
there was some
for.
Grinding.
I don't know. So she banged a guy in a windmill.
Yeah,
four times. This is taboo, Mike, because one of the guys tried to shame her for being sexually active.
Right.
Of one of the other bachelors was like, I can't believe you do that. Or I think he actually said, I'm willing to forgive the fact that you've done that.
Wasn't he the Christian airline pilot?
It was just
airplane pilot?
It was over the top. And she
so
was
it
like,
wasn't. So the bachelor, it used to be that the sex was. Very, very QT, where they didn't talk about it.
Oh, now it's talked about. It's 2019, Mike. Yeah, it's a badge of honor.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually copulate?
Yeah, they don't show it. unfortunately.
But they not actually yet. Say they actually have intercourse.
Yes.
Yeah, and
yes.
I think it was a sort of a step forward.
Disgusting.
What? Step forward this season when they actually put a number on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a new thing. Four
and
times
how did
the
number.
Windmill.
How did the. So just, I hate to play.
Now, this is great, Mike. It was just.
But I know
just,
you love
just,
this show.
It just
you
happened.
Boys, yeah. We talk about it all the time. Yeah. So The Bachelor, the show. The show is.
Right now, technically, if you're at home listening in real time, it's Bachelor in Paradise time. But the season before. Well, I would say maybe just a month ago, we wrapped up, or a month and a half ago, we wrapped up The Bachelorette.
And don't they alternate?
Yes.
Now, The Bachelor in Paradise, is that being shot in Davis, California? Where
no, it's in Puerto Vallarta.
Oh, I see. Okay. So
but you said one bachelor was saying something about another. Here, just to hear me out and let me ask my questions. My idea of the show that I've never seen was there's a bachelor, mm-hmm. and he's sitting out there like at a picnic table, and then they helicopter in all these whores that come in.
The ladies are for The Bachelor. We're talking about The Bachelorette.
They do both ways.
Which one? Who banged the guy in the windmill?
The Bachelorette.
That was
The Bachelorette.
Oh, The Bachelorette. Yeah. So there's one girl
and
bunch of guys.
Dudes, yes.
A bunch of dudes that come
and
in.
And oftentimes
so a bunch of male whores that come in and want to
maybe
wanna
they're
do
looking
that.
For love.
Oftentimes they're lonely, Mike. They have needs like any other man. But
yeah, but it's I think old school. I think in terms of if you're doing that, if she's having sex with one guy in a windmill, then the other guys, she's probably, having a little something with them, too.
It happens with the guys as well, though. The guys
are
sleeping with
multiple
girls.
I'm not saying it's her.
Yeah.
I'm saying the girls. I just didn't know that. I thought there was some sort of chaperoning that went on, but obviously the producers just, put the cameras away at night.
Well, it is an ABC. It's an ABC property, so while they're having sex in the windmill, Michael Strahan is there.
Yes.
That
was fantastic.
They do
look at them having sex again.
They have like a code of ethic now because they had an issue. I would say 2 years ago,
right?
I bet they had a lot of issues. Well,
there was an alleged sexual assault, now you remember they actually had booted two of the cast members
because
they couldn't figure out what happened. But now it's like you have to give this verbal yes. Before, as you should, I imagine.
And also, I think, haven't they pulled
especially
back
on a television show
on the amount of drinks they ply them with?
They like give you a couple drinks a day or a couple
last
drinks
couple of
every
questions,
3 hours.
I'm curious. So when you watch the TV show, does the TV show, obviously it's not porn, so they can't show you what happens.
Oh,
but does the TV show be, you're really nice. This is great. We're spending the night here. But by the way, when they go into this date,
yes.
Is the date design where they're going to be sleeping in the same bedroom?
They can choose.
Yes.
They can choose to stay together in the fantasy suite. Some people have chosen
the fantasy suite,
and some people have chosen not to.
That's right.
Is that a big fail for the?
Depends if maybe he or she is waiting for marriage, so they're not going to do it.
So
yet.
Their moral compass is different and stuff like that. But when you have two that you know are going to. Get down on it.
Yes.
Are they? Do they give?
That's when they swap out the sleep number for a trampoline, Mike.
That's right.
Do they actually? Do you know when you're watching on TV?
I do remember. I remember an instance. Might not have been the windmill, but where they cut away from the fantasy suite and they showed like an exterior, but the audio from within continued just for a little
but
bit.
Yeah, but it's
just
not
to let you know what's going on
because it's ABC. I'll give you an example. The new bathing suits that most women are wearing on the beach, younger women, are almost thong-like, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they won't show on Bachelor in Paradise, they won't show those. They'll have to black bar out a girl's butt.
Can you say almost thong-like again?
Almost thong-like, Mike.
One more time.
The new bathing suits that young ladies are wearing are almost thong-like.
All right, thank you.
But ABC's not going to show you that.
No.
Even though everybody's frolicking around on the beach, they'll give you a big black bar. They'll actually do the old school black
censorship,
bar censorship to censor
why?
Out.
Why?
They took us.
But yet they're communicating the premarital sex going on in a windmill.
Standards and practices or whatever
called. Is that not how effed up we are
sexually
in this country?
Disney Industries is primarily a visual company.
Unbelievable. But isn't that, so you can't see the butt cheeks.
No, but you can have the woman scream that she had four times in the windmill.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm. It's stupid is what it is.
Now, also,
I think it's, over the years, I would say it's almost 15 years of the show?
Well, maybe
19?
I'm sure it's 20 seasons at least.
It should have gotten worse. It should have gotten worse. It should have died. It seems it the formula seems to get better.
And also, is it not true that, like, since they tend to go from bachelor to bachelorette and back to bachelor, don't they take an interesting contestant from the previous season?
Yeah, they'll take a loser from the last season to make him the bachelor or bachelorette.
A good Q score, so it actually has sort of a plot arc.
Mike, think about this.
Yeah.
The idea that with the advent of social media, people will go on that show, and I'm sure it happened before, just didn't know, with boyfriends and girlfriends. And somehow...
Oh, and cheat? Like
They don't tell anybody. They just let them on the show, well-knowing, and then they drop the bomb in the middle of the season with, like, doesn't Carter have a girlfriend back home?
Yes.
And then they'll show the social media page. They'll show them together.
And Carter's girlfriend is actually on the show.
Well, Carter's girlfriend is sending him text messages. And then...
While he's on the show.
Yeah, and the bachelorette will find out, and then she'll be like, what? Who's Sophie? And he'll be like, I'm going to make it up to you, let's go to the windmill. Yeah.
Four times. Possibility.
Yeah.
Well, all I know is I'm going to submit to ABC my idea, which has been a long time in coming. Yeah. It's going to originate down here in Southwest Florida. It's the Bachelorette Assisted Living Facility Edition. What do you think?
Well, you can start shooting as soon as you find a windmill that doesn't have any steps.
We're going to use the one at the putt-putt. We'll take a break, and we will come back with more fun and more thrills on the Michael Murray Show.
Hey, guys, it's Angie with the Oh My Goff Show with a new show out now. Are you ready for some football? Santana Moss has gone from being a football star to stellar broadcaster to my personal life coach. Also coming up, secrets to a successful prom date. The LP is called Frampton Comes Alive. And we've got Sex in the City creator Candace Bushnell spilling the tea all over the studio, Mike. Subscribe to the Oh My Goff Show on YouTube and Apple Podcasts. Who knows? You might get lucky.
Thanks, Angie. You're a troublemaker, you. Candace Bushnell was one of my...
We have a clip if you'd like to get to it after the spot.
I would love to.
Okay.
How could I say no to that? Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. The following spot written by Rob Spiewak.
That's true.
Look at your lungs. They look amazing. Pink, healthy, youthful, and not too phlegmy. Your lungs are nice. Very nice. So a little vaping couldn't hurt, right?
Oh, my God.
You can handle it. Just a little suck on a battery-powered... Just a little suck on a battery-powered device, and suddenly your senses are bombarded with nicotine and the delightful essence of cinnamon apple. Or perhaps you choose cotton candy, bubble gum, lemon pie. The best thing is, you won't die of cancer, right? Wrong!
Wrong!
Wrong.
You know why?
Why?
Because you're not special, bruh. All vapors are getting ill, yo. Even you. Especially you. You're out of your mind. You're not well. Sorry, Harv. You don't matter. There's nothing keen or notable about you. So if you assume that we're going to let you order a TMOS signature fruitcake after the September 30th deadline, wise up, schmuck. Order now or do without. You're not special. Don't screw it up. Go to our website and buy as many as you can. MikeOMaraShow.com. Click the banner. We're actually trying to sell fruitcakes.
Yes.
Yes.
And he's the one that creates them.
Oh, listen.
What?
Listen to what comes up. Hey, it's very important. Hey, listen.
Plus a chance at a golden ticket to D.C. and a platinum ticket to Florida. Just make sure you do it now. Because if you miss out, you'll suck like a freshman sneaking his jewel into the boys' room. Plus, fruitcakes cure cancer. Bet on it, Jerry Krimble. Thank you very much.
They have curative and restorative properties.
Earlier this week, and I was not proud of this moment, where my prom date from my hometown, Candace Bushnell, who is Carrie from Sex and the City, actually wrote the
book.
Articles that turned into the book that she wrote, that turned into the incredibly wonderful television series and then movies. And yes, Candy was on the old show. She's been on our show a couple of times, and she came in to guest with Angie Goff on the Oh My Goff podcast. And Oscar said to me, "Can you hang out till noon?" And I said, "Just can't make it on time." And I guess Candace Bushnell
came in and they somehow my name came.
Yeah,
up,
she's promoting a book. It's called "Is There Still Sex in the City?"
Ooh, great
and,
question.
And so they talked about the book and they talked about the history of the show. And then out of left field, Angie throws this in.
And I want to do a little flashback. Do you remember prom?
Well, yes, I know Mike O'Meara.
It is true.
It's true. Oh, and you don't even know how true this is. Hey, if you heard the truth.
Did he try to get some?
No.
Give me the scoop. I need everything.
I mean, the truth is, we had our little group. We were kind of like the nerdy, creative, fun kids. And we sort of considered ourselves like maybe a little bit cooler than the other kids. But I used to go over to Mike's house. There'd be a group and we would.
Where was this? In Virginia, right?
No, it was in Glastonbury, Connecticut. We would listen.
Sure.
But listen, but we would listen to Peter Frampton.
Oh, my. I didn't know.
Frampton Comes Alive. And every time I listen to it now, I'm like, I loved that.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I love Mike O'Meara.
I love Mike O'Meara.
Oh,
he's great.
So you would hang out.
Oh, yeah. We hung out so much. And then we were like, well, we're going to go to prom. So
you had to find a date. So
exactly.
Wow. All started in a small town of Connecticut.
So she, the thing that she mentioned later in the interview, and the full interview exists at, oh my God, you can get it on YouTube, all the places where you get podcasts. She said, you used to call your town Glastonboring.
Glastonboring, Connecticut.
Really?
I never called it that. Oh. Candace might have.
That's what she said that your group called it. But
it was kind of a theater group of people that and the difference was we crossed into all sorts of different groups, and yeah, we probably did think of ourselves as cooler than some of the other kids because there were very smart people in the group,
right.
And it was a lot of fun. And Candace was a senior and I was a junior, and I was thrilled was able to connect better with the older kids at my high school than I did with the younger kids. And so it was, although I had plenty of friends in my own class, these were the kids I hung out with. And they were all, they're just
did you say
kids.
Like creatives?
A lot of parties.
Was it the group like of the creatives? Because she mentioned theater. Obviously, she was into writing at that point. So it was
It was more theater for me, but at the same time, it was more of a hang, too. I don't know. They let me in, which to
that's
me,
nice.
You know how it is in high school. A year is a big deal in high school. So when you're part of that group, the class ahead of me, it was a very, very neat experience. And I loved every bit this of it. I love the class of 76.
This
really
is probably a Rube question, but I still look, Sex and the City is still like a cultural icon within
it's a touchstone
within our world. When did you realize that she was, or this was happening for her? Like, do you remember?
Well, long after I had achieved success in radio, that came along when the television show came along. I was not aware of I don't think I was even aware of the book, and I certainly wasn't. I think she wrote for the Village Voice. I think that's where the columns started, Sex in the City, and became famous. And then she turned it into a book. And I knew that Candace Bushnell, I dated her sister, too, Alyssa. Alyssa,
that's, I believe this is a new factoid.
Alyssa was another beautiful girl.
Younger?
I think my class. I think there was a year or
God, the Bushnells did it all the time.
And but Alyssa was, and I loved both of them. They were great kids. They were wonderful girls.
Was Alyssa at your reunion?
Alyssa's probably class behind me.
I see.
I
still get nervous. Can you tell I still get nervous?
A little bit, yeah.
Well, you just said you dated sisters. I mean, come on.
I did. I dated, after Candace was gone, I dated her younger sister.
Well, that's not much like a Hitchcock film.
It's nothing. I'm not like the first guy.
Raise your hand if you've dated sisters.
Well, I'm not like the first guy that did that.
All
I
right,
mean,
raise
you
your
know.
Hand if you've dated brothers.
By the way, the Bushnell family knew, I mean,
sure,
it wasn't.
There was nothing untoward.
They had a great house down on Main Street in my hometown. I dated a lot of different girls.
We get it.
I mean, doesn't everybody date a lot in high school if you're dating? I mean, you go out.
I don't think they date sisters.
People.
Some people try.
You make it sound like it's like taboo.
It's not taboo.
I know. It's a category.
It's not a threesome.
Shut up, Pony. It's not a category.
Never dated them at the same time.
Okay.
No, so not at the same time.
Let's be adults about this.
Yes, of course.
What? Who was nicer? Like, who was... Like, if you had to choose...
Can't get in trouble answering this question.
They were both... Okay. I'm not trying to be correct here.
Yeah.
They were both wonderful. They were both neat and fun.
Tidy.
And
were they both had similar personalities?
Similar. Well, similar intelligence and similar.
Do you mean like they kept their hair nice, or their desk was clean?
They were pretty girls. Okay. They were beautiful girls, and they were fun, and they were pretty, and I think the sense of humor thing, especially with Candace, I know that.
Yeah.
You know, you can listen to Candace. She's great. Candace, she's great on a talk show.
So funny.
Because she's just got that sharp wit to bust my chops about Frampton Comes Alive. Go back and look at the year of Frampton Comes Alive. That would be,
gels. I think it's 76.
That's the music of my youth. You know, Boston, Frampton Comes Alive, Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. These were the anthems that we were listening to, man. You know, and by the way, my sister, who's 7 years younger than I am, I thought her music was the best.
Older.
And then you go back and we created our own stuff. It's a great time in music. Look, there's a reason why formats have been burning that music for 30 years, 40 years, because that's great music.
It is so perfectly almost laser targeted to your age demo. Frampton Comes Alive came out on January 6th, 1976.
Yeah,
so you were 16.
It.
You were 16
so
when
I remember
it came out.
You know, do what you do. And I will say
great
this.
Great album. It really is.
This is this. By the way, now that my memory banks are stimulated here, I will tell you that music, at least when I was growing up, was central to romantic activity.
Mm.
I have memories of dating women where the music comes in, Boston in particular.
And would you also say to that end, albums? Because
albums,
you wouldn't
look at Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Like
when you want to make out, you put on Led Zeppelin.
Mm.
It's true.
Yeah.
And in college, it was Pink Floyd.
Ugh.
That was a make-out album. It was true.
Ate Pink Floyd.
Well, there you go, Rob. I think that says a lot.
Yeah.
Was
sitting by myself listening to Elvis. Give it another try, Rob.
Do you ever think of even talking to a sister?
No, I don't think so.
No, actually.
There were two sisters. Took one of them to prom, but not the other.
But did the other one like you?
No, probably never had a chance with Allison.
Yeah.
I remember we were very we were blessed in my class with some extremely wonderful women. That's the way.
Any triplets?
Shut up, Rob. Play the music.
He literally said they were neat.
They were neat.
Neat.
Cool.
They were lovely.
Hey, how about
shut up?
Have you seen the Bushnell sisters? They're groovy.
I think neat is the sweetest way of saying
it. It is very nice.
Neat.
Hey, both of you. F*** off. All right, anyway. We'll take a break. Come back. I want to hear about your kid going to driver's ed.
Oh, okay, great. Right.
We'll do that when we come back on the Mike O'Meara Show. One way.
It's Political Persuasions.
Hey, it's Chris Frantz with Political Persuasions. This week, Mike and I talk about the mustachioed man leaving the White House, John Bolton, out as National Security Advisor. Mike has opinions. Plus, it's down to 10, the debate of September. There'll be more. We're going to break it down for you and tell you what we think. Please tune in.
You can download Political Persuasions at politicalpersuasions.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasts are found.
Might want to turn on my microphone. On Wisconsin Avenue, just below the Mike O'Meara Show studios, lives a wonderful group of people that can help you. That can help you with something that's important to everybody. I'm talking about money.
Money.
Cornerstone First Financial. In the fall, peas grow there. No, Cornerstone First Financial. They want you to know at this moment we've got over $6 trillion in tappable home equity floating around out there in the United States. That is the highest amount of tappable equity ever. So the time has come to go and get it.
Plus,
rates are at their lowest level. Tap it. Damn 3 years. Lowest level in 3 years, so almost every homeowner in the country can benefit from a refi right now. But you need to call Cornerstone First Financial. Cornerstone will guarantee to meet or beat any competitor. Some restrictions apply, but if you're in the market for a refi or a new mortgage, or you need to take out some equity or eliminate PMI, do yourself a favor and call Cornerstone to go over your specific situations and options. All credit types considered, Cornerstone is licensed in California, Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Georgia, Florida, and Colorado. Call them 866-625-1221. That's 866-625-1221. Cornerstone, First Financial, personal attention from application to closing. You can also click their banner on our website. Yeah, we had a business meeting last night with me and Rob and Oscar, mm-hmm. and Rob said he was wrapping up before the meeting at a driver's ed ceremony lecture. What was going on? I didn't understand.
And
I didn't talk about it today.
I didn't do this with Julia. Carrie handled it with Julia, so this was all new territory for me, mm-hmm. and it didn't happen when I got my license a million years ago. Robert got his operator's permit months ago, like 4 months
ago.
Yeah,
I thought he was driving.
So he's driving, he's doing great, but because he hadn't done this ceremony yet, up till now, he had to keep this temporary, it looks like a driver's license, but it's temporary permit and a certificate that says he graduated behind the wheel. So if he would have been pulled over, that's what he needed to show the cops. To get his real license, we all have to gather. Every person who gets a license in Loudoun County has to go through this rigmarole where we go to Heritage High School at 5 p.m. and sit down one kid who gets the license with a parent to let the parent know that they're doing the thing. And we sit and a judge talks to us and a district attorney talks to us and they just try to scare you.
Good.
And you walk in. Good. We got there at, maybe 10 minutes to go. And really, the auditorium is full. And a high school auditorium, I guess, holds about maybe 1,100 people. And it's jam-packed. And it smells like bad breath, Axe body spray, and just a little BO. Because exactly half of the crowd is students, and half of them are men. Boy students. And you know what? They're not the cleanest. They're 16, and there's a lot.
Hormones.
I will now do
for you. You know, that's one thing Carla does with my little guy that I hope he latches onto is the hygiene part, because that kid is scrubbed morning, noon, and night. I love that, and I hope it doesn't serve as the opposite. But, boys are so
good. Robert is pretty good at, as far as showering and looking clean and presentable, but he does lay on that Axe body spray. And it's like, come on, son. No, you get in a car with the windows shut. Murder. Murder. So we're driving there and we get there and we find our seats and they hand us a pamphlet that has this is what you do if you get pulled over. This is what a ticket looks like. This is this. Right. This is this. And I look around and take a sort of a visual survey of what's surrounding me, and roughly 30% of the people in the auditorium, I will do an impression now of them breathing.
Mouth breathers?
All of them, mouths open, dry braces.
The
because
kids?
They're because they're all sucking air through their braces and they don't want to be there. And for some reason, I don't know if something in the water. It seems like
And it stinks.
It does stink. And there's,
oh, God.
The average 16-year-old Loudonite boy is 72 feet tall. And so they're all legs everywhere. And it's just like, and, I'm looking around. I look at Robert. And this is why I joke. I say, he's very strong. But he also knows me so well. Right? I look at him after we sit. And he just sort of claps his lips together and shakes his head at me like this.
Yeah,
he knows that this is a total BS exercise, but I said, we got to do it. So, when you're coming in to say a movie or a Broadway show, they'll play music to sort of set the tone.
Yeah,
sure.
So as we come in there, if you don't hear, you look up on the big screen at the Heritage High School auditorium and they're showing tapes of injured teenagers describing what they were texting when they got hit by the car.
Good.
Wow.
Good. And okay. It is right, flipping dark. And by the time I lock into that, they've got me. Mm-hmm. They really, really do.
That's so pretty good.
And,
that's pretty
and good so stuff. And the thing is that it was not saying, hey, watch this.
Yeah.
It was just kind of on a loop. So kids were watching. And so that's very good. And it is really, it's a really scary thing to see when you see a guy that can barely talk anymore who holds up a phone and just says, where are you at? And that's when he was hit. I mean, it was very that.
Is it Y-O-U or U?
Actually, it was WYA.
Oh, look at that.
Like keeping it real. Mm. But wow. Anyway, that to me was probably the most useful thing of the night.
WYA, and he still got in an accident?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, the technology exists where they
what a loser.
I mean, he's three letters. Can you get past that?
I can't say it anymore after that. Oh, my God.
Come on.
Oh, my God.
That three letters.
You know, the technology exists where you wouldn't even have to have these phones working in a car.
I
know.
Well, now you can talk to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can be like, hey.
Yeah. I mean, it's not necessary. So I wish, but it's still important to read. And everybody does it. Everybody cheats. Yeah.
Remember.
Everybody cheats on that.
I did reconsider some stuff last night.
I bet. I bet you did.
I'm sure you did. Like you write a soliloquy on the way. Like, I'm on the chain bridge, making a left, making a right, and I get that as a text. I'm like,
we're all guilty of that. Yes. I did it to you last night.
I do the same thing. But if someone is having we try our best. And I'm telling you, that time when I was coming back late from Phoenix, when I was Scottsdale, when I was dating Shannon, and if I would have been texting and driving, I would have plowed into that young lady in the middle of the road on 495.
Mm-hmm.
Like that still to this day haunts me one way or another.
Yeah, well, texters have replaced the drunk drivers as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you're right.
When I'm out on the road and I'm like, what? How often have we all been on the roads where we're looking and we go, what in the name of God is that? And it's always texting. Mm-hmm.
Person in front
it's
of you and they're
always
you
think texting.
They're
drunk.
Yeah, they're going on the Rumble strip. They're going,
this is not right and I'm completely wrong, but my mentality I have now, if I roll up on somebody that I think is drunk, but I'm sure they're texting.
Mm-hmm.
I am disappointed when I see the face into what is essentially their lap because they're texting.
Mm. Right.
Like, I would rather see someone with a tall boy and be like,
okay. Yeah. You know, now I understand the way you're doing That's fine. So did he get his license yet?
Yeah, so they go through, and first a judge gets up, and she was so nice to come up, even though she apparently was suffering from a massive sinus infection. And she stands up and she looks like she wants to, she'd rather have her feet in a campfire than be there. And she says, I need you all to stand up for this special meeting of the Loudoun County Circuit Court. And she is so flipping bored. And we all stand up and they handle it like it's a big court session because it turns out she's the lady that does Loudoun County Traffic Court every Wednesday morning. So she goes through and reviews all the rules that they should know. And then she brings up, this was funny, this was an operator, this was a mover. The state's attorney or for Loudoun County or whatever it is, the district attorney, was promoted
Commonwealth's attorney.
Was promoted to judge.
Mm.
So this lady comes up, a very sturdy woman, and she says, I'm sorry, I'm going to give myself this. A very sturdy woman says, you're lucky I'm here because Judge Schmales has made it to judge, and so I'm not going to tell all of the silly stories he tells. I'm acting Commonwealth attorney, and I'll be running in November. I'm like, okay, we don't need
these
that.
These kids can't vote.
Exactly.
Their parents barely want to be here.
You totally alienated everybody, and then all she did is proceed to talk about all the trouble she has with her 16-year-old son, and that he's grounded, and that he's a lousy driver, and don't be like him. I'm like, okay. And so that all finishes up, and then we all go through a couple more statistics, and then everyone in the auditorium, I'm guessing 1,200 people, get in line for four tables to turn in your old license to get your new license.
And he can drive.
And now he can drive. However, the one thing they blew at this whole meeting was designed to make kids be the best drivers possible. If they had said, tonight when you're leaving the parking lot, remember to zipper the traffic. And you know what this is. When people are in two lanes going into one, you alternate cars, like a zipper's teeth.
Yes.
That's how you make it move, right?
Right.
It was a 40-minute presentation. It was 45 minutes, I kid you not, to get out of the parking lot.
Oh, because it's all new drivers.
No, yeah, because every idiot
were the
said,
kids, were the kids all driving?
I suppose so. Yes. Not in my car.
Yeah.
Not in my car, brother.
You park outside.
Congratulations,
the
Robert. Yeah. I'm glad you got your license.
He did
That's
good,
good
and
stuff.
He's a good driver. Yeah, excellent driver, just like Raymond and Rayman.
Well, and now Daddy's got a DD again. That's
yes,
great.
Yeah.
That's
no more picking him up.
Yeah, we're gonna do some practice. Right, I'm gonna take you to a place called Charlestown. Do you know how to get into the mountains?
There you go. Have fun. We'll take a break and come back with Oscar's take.
Yeah,
right,
Oscar's
here
take
on the Mike O'Barry Show.
The Yak Shack line is ringing. The Yak Shack line
phone is ringing.
It's time to cheer. The Yak Shack's here. So call up when you're full of beer. We're all in store for fun rapport. Call 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-MORE.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Nutrition is on everyone's mind. Yes. Kettlebell Kitchen knows that meal planning is never one size fits all, which is why they offer a personalized solution. I love this company. They're changing people's lives with meal plans that are tailored to the nutrition you need with none of the hassle. You can sign up for a plan or order a la carte, no long-term commitment. It's delivered to your door twice a week. It's got the calories on there. It's got the fat. It's got all the nutritional information, and it's got the instructions of how to easily throw it in, heat it, and it's ready to eat. I love the huevos rancheros.
Ranch eggs.
Delivered to your door twice a week for optimal freshness. Just heat, eat, and no cleanup. You'll love it. Also like the buffalo sliders. Delicious. Whether you're slimming down, bulking up, or just looking to fuel your day, Kettlebell Kitchen is a plan for you. All their meals are free of dairy, soy, artificial sweeteners, free of gluten. They even have vegetarian, keto, Whole30, and paleo options. And you can filter meals by your calorie, protein, fat, and carb limits so you get exactly the right food for your unique needs, especially if you're counting those calories. It's comfort food made healthy. Feed the champion in you with Kettlebell Kitchen. Go to kettlebellkitchen.com and enter the code TMOS for $50 off your first two orders for new customers. That's $50 off your first two orders at kettlebellkitchen.com. Use the code TMOS, everybody. And now, without further ado, it's time for Oscar's Take. I'll review and comment on the news of the day that only our Bolivian believer is going to. The views expressed by Oscar Santana do not in any way represent the views of the Mike O'Mara Show, its listeners, or anybody in the United States of America.
Hey,
well, there might be a few people out there that agree with him, but we'll see. And now, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
Oscar, on Thursday, Mike, the Situation Sorrentino was released from the Otisville Federal Correctional Facility in upstate New York, where he was serving an 8-month sentence. He said, quote,
did you say Otisville?
Otisville.
That's the town that they were going to name after Ned Beatty in the original Superman movie. When they were
Otisville.
Otisville.
Here's the quote from the Situation. We are elated to finally close this chapter of our life. Thank you to our family, friends, and fans for the continuous love and support during this time. It brought us so much peace and comfort. We look forward to he's doing Queen's third person.
Good.
We and the rest of the royal family look forward to continuing our life as husband and wife and working on baby situations.
Ew.
So he's still doing his. He's out, Oscar.
Tax evasion, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe right. Yes.
Exactly what it was.
Look, I think the Jersey Shore phenomena is on its last breath.
I believe it was that was a few weeks ago.
Well, no, because they had a dating show that was very popular on MTV.
Ugh.
And just even a Snooki in her own right is not the influencer we thought she was in the past, has a podcast, etc. The Situation.
Nicole Pelosi?
Yeah, the Situation's.
Belize.
My take on the gentleman is that the guy got thrust into fame at a very young age for, as Mike would say, little appreciable talent. And as that happened, it became very evident that he was living this extravagant life with a Bentley, and he was opening up businesses. And his brother, of all people, or brother-in-law, I got to check the facts there, said, hey, this is how you run your taxes. So,
right. Do it this way, Mikey. You'll never have to pay a dime.
Hey, I got an idea. Don't write anything down.
The moral of the story is this. If you're going to not pay the government, first, don't talk to your brother who's not an accountant about how not to pay the government.
Right.
Two, if you're going to not pay the government, don't go around buying million-dollar houses and million-dollar cars because people are going to wonder, hey, what about our peace?
Yeah.
What about our peace?
Mm-hmm. They'll pay attention to you, the Situation. You're listening to Oscar's Take, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, Oscar's Take.
Thank you. Oscar, over a third of Americans in a new survey admitted they're superstitious, including 9% who said they're very superstitious. That's about 1 in 11 people. 66% claim they're either not very superstitious or not superstitious at all. Men were much more likely to say they are compared to women. And 23% of people between 25 and 34 said they're superstitious versus 1% of us old farts over 55. Huh. I welcome your take on this, Oscar.
I feel like superstitions are a bunch of malarkey.
Oh, malarkey. My goodness. Yes. There it is. Yes, and, malarkey.
But I will say this. Some of the most successful people I know in my life are superstitious.
That's so much malarkey.
They either have some sort of the connotation with their numbers.
It's a bunch of malarkey.
If there are numbers in a certain deal or there are numbers that are represented to them in a certain way, they feel like, oh, it's meant to be.
That's so much more malarkey.
Yeah. No.
Todd is very superstitious. There are guys, he has 13 toes.
There are
Did
people
you know
in
that?
My life that think watches are good luck charms or bad luck charms.
I used to do that when I was younger. Yep. I thought watches could be bad luck charms. Yep. Absolutely. I did that.
Does your watch right now currently show the current time?
Yes.
Okay,
does.
Good. Because yes. For a long time, it drove me crazy. Your bad luck watch wouldn't
even
run.
It would die. It would die, unfortunately.
Would. Yes, that's malarkey.
So I feel like it's a social crutch. It's a confidence crutch when you're superstitious a certain way. But I would be wrong because whatever it takes to win. There are top flight athletes that will wear the same shirt they wore in high school underneath their uniform because they feel like that gives them another, level up on their game.
Yeah, like John Daly.
Edge. Yes, an edge. So if it works for you, God bless. Yeah, bottom line.
I don't have Axe body spray for that. You're listening to Oscar's Take.
Oh, you're listening to Oscar's Take.
Oscar, Americans will spend a total of $121,082 going on dates over the course of their lifetime. And it doesn't end when you settle down and get married. Spending actually goes up. The average person spends $168 a month on dates, but people who are married spend $186 a month on dates. 28% of people say they'd go into debt to keep dating. And yes, we do tend to overspend on dates just to impress the other person. But that urge ends around date number 6. That's funny. The survey also asked people why they avoid dating, and the price tag did make the top 5, but it's not number 1. Top 5 excuses for not dating: I prefer hanging out with friends. I can't afford it. I'm not confident enough. I'm too introverted, and I don't like meeting new people.
Oh, my God.
Otherwise known, that's the Bloom book.
Get out there, people. Spend your dollars. Stimulate the economy. Treat a woman or a man. God bless you. Whatever you're into. And splurge.
What if they're sisters?
I mean, then you got to double that $100,000 number. I don't know what Mike was doing in high school. God bless him. But I think it's harder now for people to go out and date because there's so many opportunities with the advent of Tinder, where you're going out on a regular basis. I remember when Todd was single, he would go for like a year of his life. His job was dating. And I kid you not. He was going out like on a Monday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday. I'm like, what is going on? And mind you, your boy was in a relationship. It's not like I'm going out with him. I had to meet him up after the date. You know?
That's back when he had that that app called Play a Penis. You're listening to
Oscar's Take.
Oscar,
I have waited for a long time. This is your story, man.
Thank you.
I want this. But this might be the story of the week. There is a porn company out of Miami called Bang Brothers.
Oh, I know them.
You can pretend you don't know them, but they have 43 different sites, including Bus, MILF Soup, Magical Feet, on Glory Hole, out in public.
I didn't know Magical Feet was theirs.
They're everywhere. And apparently, they're raking in the cash because they just put in a $10 million bid for the naming rights to the Miami Heat Arena.
Mm-hmm. No!
Right now, it's called the American Airlines Arena, but American Airlines just announced they're dropping their naming rights so other companies can bid, and Bang Brothers might be the first. They say they want to name the arena the BBC, which they say stands for Bang Brothers Center. Yeah. But BBC also, of course, is the British Broadcasting Company. Yeah. I welcome your take on this one. It's fascinating. I don't know
look,
if it's going to work.
The idea that they have the cash to burn for this is not shocking. They are an established media company. They've been around for, I think, roughly 25 years.
Wow.
Are they actual brothers?
I don't know the origin story.
Okay. All right.
So I remember at one point there was like a good power ranking of like what these companies were worth. At one point, the Bang Brothers, and this is early, this is when Playboy was kind of still relevant at that point, was worth more than the Playboy empire. So if you put it that way, you got 10 million to put on an actual venue. Why not? Do it. Yeah,
do you think they'll get it? Do you think they'll go along with
no,
it?
No. There's no, I imagine the Heat is not going to, or the family that owns the Heat, it's like, we're not that hard up for the money.
I don't know. Pardon there the is pun. There yes. is precedent. When they ripped down RFK, they're going to put in Jim Skinfield.
Jim Skinfield. Yeah, Mr. Skin. Fantastic. Welcome. All right. That's Oscar's take for the week, ladies and gentlemen. We will take a break. When we come back, the final audio vault of the week with Rob Spiewak right here on the Michael Barrett Show.
Lord Almighty, I feel my temperature rising.
Another season of big football is here. The question is, are you ready? We know you are, and so is a voice from the West.
Light 'em up!
Nicky Diamond is back, and he's on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Who's ready to cash in?
Your fantasy football roster is incomplete without sage Mike, advice from the prognosticator of Perump.
4 out of 5 bookies can't be wrong.
Nicky breaks it down with a diamond pick of the week, the Merle, and the Carry.
I'm bigger than Vegas.
Close. Nicky Diamond on the Mike O'Mara Show. Just listen, and you'll be
in the no, baby.
Working on a perfect week over
wow,
here.
Wow, look at this guy.
Yeah, boy.
Confidence.
Nice run. Nice run at the end of the game, Panthers. Thanks.
It was close.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
It was close.
Ever wonder why traditional button-up shirts look so long and baggy? That's because they were never meant to be worn that way. The solution, Untuckit shirts, specifically designed to be worn untucked. Untuckit is the original untucked shirt, a modern solution to an old problem with no tucking or tailoring required. No matter your size or shape, their shirts are the perfect untucked length. I adore my Untuckit shirts, not too long, not too short, and the coolest designs on the net. I love the material, I love the colors, and with more than 50 fit combinations, Untuckit shirts look great on tall, short, slim, and athletic guys of all ages. Try it on in person at one of Untuckit's 50 stores or go to Untuckit.com to get started. They even offer free shipping and returns on all orders in the United States. Plus, you can save 20% on your first order, or your first order,
your first order,
by using the code TMOS at checkout. That's untuckit.com, promo code TMOS, and we thank you. Without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for Friday the 13th.
Mike, you like music like I do. I don't totally understand what happened here, but the result is fascinating. We all know the song All Star by Smash Mouth, right? Yeah. It was actually the theme to the movie Shrek.
You're an all star.
Mm-hmm. A guy went in and edited it, so he took out the second half of every beat, and it goes from being a traditional pop song to a polka just by these edits.
Okay, check I've never this heard out. This one.
Somebody told me, roll, go, don't, ain't that cool as shit. She looked right on the screen when I'm a shit in her forehead. Bell fish coming out, stomach, dark tears at the grind.
Hey, boy!
It's the music of my people. I love it.
Well, yeah. And a hip polka. A very hip polka.
Very hip polka, yes.
Sounds fine to me. I like that a lot.
All right. You know the name Gato Matarazzo?
No, I have no idea. Is that the guy that's running for president from Texas?
No, he plays Dustin on Stranger Things. Hmm. The kid with the teeth?
Okay. Verizon.
And so they're bringing out a promotion. They're launching it on Monday. They've done it before. The $500,000 Mystery Oreo Challenge, where they're going to put a mystery flavor Oreo out, and then you have to guess it. And if you're among the people that guess it right and you're selected, you win $500,000. So to promote it, they had Dustin from Stranger Things do a blind taste test. The thing that makes me laugh about this is he has a very good guess. What if he got it right? How pissed would they be at Oreo that, you know, they're doing this blind taste test? But here he is right now.
Ooh, I already smell. It smells like French toast. Mm. It's definitely cinnamon. I taste cinnamon. It's very yummy. Very cinnamony. I think that's my guess. And that's my final guess is French toast.
Everyone in Nabisco going, God damn it.
got French toast. He got it's pumpkin pie.
Probably is.
Oh, damn.
Probably is in this modern
pumpkin
culture.
Spice.
All the punky stuff out there.
80 million people will guess pumpkin pie. First person in got it.
Pumpkin pie!
Drink out of the toilets. Got electrolytes.
Okay, now, this tape is from 2016, but it just went viral this week. It's horrifying, and I'll tell you why. It's a lady standing on a waterfall, the top of a waterfall in Hawaii, and she slips. And she falls down the waterfall. She's okay now. As a matter of fact, she's a professional cheerleader, and she's back doing what she does. But she fell 50 feet. She broke 10 ribs. So if you think of 50 feet as like a five-story building, the thing that's scary for me here is you hear how long it takes to free fall 50 feet. And can you imagine the terror of falling for that long?
My God,
Check this out. And remember, this is 3 years ago and she's okay, so we're not making fun of her. It's just sort of an illustration of what it's like to fall down a 50-foot waterfall.
Whoa.
Ooh. 50 feet, can you imagine? And she fell into about 2 feet of water. So there was nothing to break her fall. Thank God she's okay.
Stuff like that. Can I hear it again?
Yes, of course. Got a GoPro on.
Whoa.
She's in a lot of pain.
It's not the same lady.
What? I don't know what happened there.
It's our sound of the week, though. No question about it. Maybe the month.
Mike, that's called calming.
It's the Mike O'Mara calming sound.
That's when
Mike,
right.
It's painful to listen to.
So I remember when you were between houses, you spent a lot of time at the Days Inn in Towson, right?
I love that place. My God, they had great scrambled eggs.
The only five-star hotel in Towson is the Days Inn. And there was an incident there yesterday where two women were having very loud sex in their cabin, I guess, motel room. And when
they don't have a cabin there.
No, though. Why would they have a cabin?
Well, I don't know. It's the stabbing cabin.
Oh, God, that's all gross. He was thinking.
So when the security guard came by to ask them to have sex more quietly, one of the women that was making love pulled a gun that was discharged. Everybody's okay, but the people at the Towson Days Inn are upset with the goings-on yesterday.
We heard a lot of commotion outside. So I opened the door to find out what was going on. I asked them to be a little quiet, and I saw security, I saw a police officer, and I saw a lady arguing.
I came into the parking lot, and I just seen like a whole bunch of police officers in the parking lot and inside of the lobby area.
Yes.
I didn't know what was going on.
It's pretty unsettling. You don't expect this when you're, you know, paying to stay somewhere, so I didn't like it at all.
Days Inn.
You need to be quieter when you're making love.
Man, the police calls are dropping as fast as the consonants are.
It's disappointing.
It's disappointing. Yes, sir. You know, when you're paying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And something's happening.
Yeah.
And
I saw a lot of people hanging in the lobby. So what's happening?
Then the cops came driving in.
Where did the bullet go?
Just into the air. Nobody was hurt. Nobody was hurt. All right.
Bullets were flying.
That's right. They sure were. Gun firing.
Yeah, no need to pronounce that G, you dopes.
There's no G's in Towson. Let's close with this. Jimmy Kimmel brought up an interesting point about the presidential debate last night. We have a shot at the first unmarried president in years.
Cory Booker was the only unmarried candidate in the debate. And that would be interesting. A single president. Would be something. See him on Tinder. Although he is in a serious relationship, he's dating Rosario Dawson, the actress. But even though they lived together until 3 days ago, she hadn't officially endorsed him. I mean, how many dishes must this guy leave in the sink?
Food for thought. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great weekend, everybody.
That's it. We got to get out of here. Buy a fruitcake this weekend. Subscribe to the bonus show. Tell your friends. Fruitcake's only available till the end of the month of September. So we would appreciate you giving them to a friend this weekend.
Please.
Have a great weekend. Stay safe, everybody. For Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOmeraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Thank God it's Friday!
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I can pull a better cartoon out of my ass. Hey, whoa! Wasn't that great, kids?
Good night. Doctor.
Good night, Frau Blucher. Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
Do you expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to die.